This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Words from the 118th Psalm are a fitting way to begin this day, and indeed probably every day. As we rejoice in this day that has been made by the hand of the Lord himself. You know, you see, in many ways, this is the Father's Day. Now, I know that it's Father's Day, but I'm talking about the Father. This is the Father's Day, and indeed, every day is the Father's Day. He is the author of creation, by whose words everything that we see sprang forth, all life began, his love was made manifest in everything that he created. The Small Catechism describes the work of the Father this way, and if you know these words, you can feel free to say them along. I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. And he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. You know, today is also Trinity Sunday. And while in many ways we kind of had the Holy Spirit's day last week, with Pentecost, we celebrated that the Spirit was given to God's people. And in some ways, we kind of already had the Son's Day as we celebrated that day when Jesus Christ defeated sin, death, and the devil and rose once again. And today, in many ways, is the Father's Day. We look to the work of the Father, co-eternal with the Son and the Spirit. Now, let's be real honest. As we start looking at the Trinity, it's very, very easy to get things mixed up. This can be very deep waters theologically. Sometimes we might want to confuse the persons or combine the substance of their glory. We can get things mixed up very easily. So to help us, I want to turn to Scripture. It's not printed for you. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Psalm 8. If not, I want you to open up your ears and your hearts to hear these words written by David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Your glory is sung above the heavens from the mouth of little children and infants. You have built a fortress against your opponents to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the creation of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is a mortal that you would take care of him? You have made him a little lower than yourself. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him rule what your hands have created. You have put everything under his control, all the sheep, all the cattle and the wild animals, the birds, the fish, whatever swims in the currents of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. As we hear the words of Psalm 8, we are reminded of that creative work of God, but we also see the work of the triune God. We see the Father and his plans for salvation in the Son. And from the outset, we see how the Lord is praised by his creation. Huge galaxies proclaim the wonder and the majesty of God. And tiny babies do the same. It's an interesting juxtaposition. And I don't know what you think of when you consider the works of the fingers of God. That's what the text says. The works of the fingers of God. I don't know. My mind starts going to the big things, to the galaxies, to the universe, to the sun, to the planets, to the stars, and all of those different things. How powerful the breath of God was to create everything by just his words. At a wave of his hand, he fashioned everything. Now, it'd be easy to start thinking that the creation of humanity was just an afterthought, a trivial event, because we're nothing more than a little microscopic speck compared to one of the stars, let alone the galaxy or the universe. But yet, in the creation of humanity, we find the heart of God. For we've been made in the Father's image. In the image of the triune God, we're created. Just as those things in heaven, we've been created by God. But there's something different about you. There's something different about me. For we have a Father who loves us, who cares deeply about us. And he created you to be the crown of his creation. You've been crowned with glory and honor, been given the task to rule over the earth. If you start imagining the creation that God had made, and while we are just in physical stature seem to be insignificant, we are precious to our Father. We are more precious than anything in all of creation. You know, after God created things, he said it was good. It was good. It was good. And after he created humanity, he said it was very good. This, the Father's Day, after he had created everything, was a very good day. It was perfect. It was filled with peace. Now, the church throughout centuries has ascribed the work of creation to the Father, but you have to remember when we're talking about the triune God, we cannot separate the persons of the Trinity. Centuries ago, Christians confessed in the words that we still hold on today, and they come closest to describing really the work of the Trinity without denying the Trinity. Because anytime you start trying to explain the triune God, eventually you're going to end in heresy, and that's not where I want to end today. This is what they wrote. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty, and yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord. Did you catch all that? It's pretty amazing stuff. We cannot, by our own reason or strength, understand this. We can't put God in a box. Now, if you grew up in the church, you probably remember on Trinity Sunday confessing the entire Athanasian Creed. And if you were like me, you're going, oh my gosh, we got to do this whole creed. We're never going to get to the donuts, right? But the words of that creed proclaim the truths of Scripture. There are sometimes we might not be able to explain it all. What we're called to do is proclaim the truth that Scripture says. We know very well that when we try to fit God, the triune God, into our own understanding, we soon find out that it's not about the Father or the Son or the Spirit, but it's about us. It happened back in the garden, when Adam and Eve thought more highly of themselves than of their Creator. And when they disobeyed, perfection was ruined, tarnished, destroyed. That perfect Father's Day came into a day that's about us. And each and every day since, the days continue to be about what we humans can get and what we can get away with, not about God. Most days are not about our heavenly Father, but about our earthly existence. Lord, you want us to rule everything that you have created? Fine, that sounds great, but not thy will be done, my will be done. In this great fall, our relationship with our heavenly Father was broken. Our dominion was diminished. We try to use our intelligence to understand everything about God, but we no longer have an uncontested dominion over the earth. The peace of the Father's Day that was in Eden has been broken, has been severed by my works, by your works, and by every one of the descendants of Adam and Eve. The peace of the Father's Day is gone. And now we see in its place a world filled with chaos. In spite of our own best efforts to control the chaos, we see viruses and bacteria wreak havoc in our bodies. Cells grow uncontrollably and unchecked, bringing death and disease. We battle against weeds and pests and disease, against floods and droughts, just to produce food from the earth. We're killed by our own machines, poisoned by our own pollution, and inevitably humanity's day will end when each of us returns to the ground from which we were created. But God had another idea. For his great love for us, in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our sinful deeds, he was looking to another Father's Day. It would be a day when chaos would be crushed underfoot, when the avenger and the enemy would be silenced once and for all, where the will of the Father would be made known to the world. Jesus, his Son, begotten of the Father from the beginning, the uncreated, the infinite, eternal Son of God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit, said this as recorded in John's Gospel. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's the ultimate act of a Father's love, to sacrifice his Son. That day on Calvary, we were provided with a fortress against the enemy, as King David wrote. On that day on Calvary, Jesus, perfect God and perfect man, suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again on the third day so that we might be restored to the Father. Because of that day, every day is the Father's Day. Every day is made new by the transforming power of the triune God, made manifest in Christ, instilled by the Spirit who calls us to faith. In Christ, we find the forgiveness and the mercy that our Father has for us. And in Christ, you are forgiven and you are loved. You are a child of God. We have a Father who loves us desperately. And it was our Father's will to send his Son to die so that you might live. The Father's Day on Calvary is the act of that loving God who desires to be with you. And through Christ, he provides the way. In Christ, we are forgiven and we are free. We are free to praise God, who desires to give good gifts. We're free to come to worship in this place, to be gathered by the Holy Spirit. We heard last week the Spirit of God is powerful and active and alive and well and empowers us to make every day the Father's Day. As the Spirit of God flows through us and in us, we're able to give those good gifts of the Father to our families, to our neighbors, to the world. And in many ways, the people around you get to see the love of this Father's Day through us. As the redeemed children of God, we bring the love of the Father to a hurting world. Maybe as close as the person next to you, or your neighbor, or someone across the world. So on this Father's Day, I encourage you to pick up the phone and call your dad if you're able. perhaps tell a story or two about how your father impacted your life as you remember his. But as you remember your dad today, as you call him up on the phone, if you're able, remember that this day is the Father's Day. And he loves you deeply. And he loves you so much that he sent his son to die and gives you his spirit to call you to faith. May every day be a day we can proclaim with King David, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you manifest that love through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we praise you for the Spirit that has called us to faith and keeps us in your loving arms forever. Lord, we thank you for the creative work that you have given to us, the salvation done in Jesus, and the sanctification done through your Spirit. We ask you now to help us to be your instruments of peace, that we bring your love to your world each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.